The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Mem Dalad, Hilchas Kibud Rabbi, Vizokain, Vitamachachem, Vakain. In this seminar, it talks about the laws of honoring one's Rebbe, one's teacher, an elder person, a Zokain, a Tamachachem, a Torah scholar, a Kayin, and a Kayin. So these are basically brought together all different halachas regarding honoring these different people. And the seminar before talked about honoring a parent, and these are talking about all these different types of people. The Kitzur begins with the following. Chayv Adam b'chvod Rabbi, a person's obligated in the respect of his Rebbe, of his teacher, v'yirasei, and his in the fear, yaisa mishal aviv, more than a parent, ki aviv mevi'o l'chaylam abo, I'm sorry, ki aviv mevi'o l'chaylam azeh, that the father brings him to the life of this world, he gives him his physical existence, v'rabba mevi'o l'chaylam abo, and through the Rebbe's teaching of Torah, the Rebbe brings him to the next world. And we find in Halacha a very practical difference between the two, which is that if there is the lost object of his teacher, of his Rebbe, and the lost object of his father, so Halacha is that the lost object of the Rebbe comes first because of this idea that it's Rabbi Mevi'o L'Chaylam Abo, that the Rebbe, the teacher, brings him to Chaylam Abo. Now, it is an interesting point that the Paiskim say that if the father pays for the tuition, pays the schar limud, so therefore the father gets even the credit for what the Rebbe is doing, and therefore one has to return the lost object of the father first. But as far as our discussion here, the respect, the kitzur, which is brought from earlier Paiskim, is underlying the point that the role of the Rebbe is so important because it gives a person their spiritual nourishment and their spiritual existence, as opposed to a parent that may only give them just their physical existence. Now, halacha-wise, it is brought also that a parent who does teach the child Torah, then the parent would take precedence over a Rebbe. That's even though if the person learned more Torah from the Rebbe, but if the father taught some Torah, then the father would have more of a obligation to respect than the Rebbe, because the father has both roles. The father is brought in his physical existence as well as his spiritual existence. It's nice to mention here a few small points that there's a discussion in the Ramah and another Paiskim that if a person has two teachers, they have one teacher that teaches them to think pilpul, which is sort of all these different elaborate thoughts, and one rabbi teaches them halacha, teaches them practical laws of halacha. So which one does one owe more respect for? And I guess it would make a difference if one has a conflict between the two. So it says that the one that teaches him the halacha, which is the more solid and more basic, so that's the one that one has to accord more respect to, as opposed to the one that teaches him pilpul. It's nice, it's good, but it's not as important as the halacha. That's one interesting discussion that we find. The other thing is that there's a tshuva called Shar Ephraim that discusses a person who influenced people and made them into geirim, made them into converts, and says that that person's status of their Rebbe. Why? Because that person brought them to Chayil Mabah, as if the concept is that the reason why we accord them that respect is because they bring them to the life in the next world. So the person who influenced these people to become frum, to become Shema Shabbos, or in the case of Shara Ephraim, to become Jewish. So they brought them to a whole new spiritual level, so therefore they have the status of a Rebbe. And according to this, in general, it's an interesting point that even if a person doesn't have the ability to teach Torah per se, but if one has the ability to influence others to do the right thing, to live a Torah-dik life, and one does that, then in that respect, they could have the status of being their Rebbe, because they are bringing them to Chayil Mabah, to a spiritual world, whereas a parent may only bring the child to a spirit, to a physical world. There's another interesting point that's discussed in the Sefer Shel Tshuvos Divrei Malkiel. He was an important Rav in Lithuania, and that is that today, when people pay for tuition, does that take away from the teacher, from the Rebbe's status of being the one that brings one into Chayil Mabba because he's being paid for it? And the Divrei Malkiel says, basically, as long as he's being paid because he has to be able to live, in other words, in the times of the Gemara, how would these people get paid? They would get paid from the community as a whole. The community as a whole would pay to support Talmid Chachamim, Torah scholars, people that would teach Torah. That's how it works. So today we have a different system. We have where each parent pays, but as long as it's working within that framework, then it's fine. If one's maybe doing it as a business and making money from it, in that sense, that situation the Divrei Malkiel doesn't address, but that could already perhaps be different. But if one is teaching Torah for the sake of teaching Torah, but obviously they need to have parnasa, and therefore the parents pay tuition, then the Divrei Malkiel writes that has the same status as the Rebbe, and just like in the times of Chazal, they would be supported from the community. The Kitzur continues in Siv Beis. Ksiv, the Torah says, Mipnei Seva Tokum, one should arise in front of a wise person, an older person, Vadarta Pnei Zaken, and one should be Mahadir, one should show respect to the face of an elder. Zaken, so what is the explanation of Zaken? Zaken is a Pirushu Talmid Chacham. An elder doesn't necessarily mean in years, but it means in knowledge. That's a Talmid Chacham, a Torah scholar. To Moshe Nehmer, as the Pasuk says, Asfal Yishivim Ish Mezikney Yisrael. As the Torah says, that gather me 70 people from the elders, and the Kitzur explains, "V'hasam b'vaday b'chachma talya milsa." That was talking about the establishment of the Sanhedrin, the great high court. So they obviously had to be very knowledgeable. "K'dechsiv ashiyadata kihem misikne am v'shaytrov," as the pasuk says, that you know that they're the elders and those that enforce the laws. So therefore, we learn from the pasuk that Hadarta Pnei Zaken, one should show respect to an elder. An elder means a Talmid Chacham. So what do we learn from here? L'chin mitzvah haseh. There's a positive commandment. Lakum mipnei Talmid Chacham. Mufluk b'Torah. There's an obligation to rise in front of a Torah scholar who knows a tremendous amount of Torah. Afilu ein zaken b'shanim, even if he's not an old person. Ve'ein rabbi, and he's not his teacher. V'chein mitzvah lakum mipnei seva. And there's a mitzvah to get up in front of an elderly person, which is the beginning of the pasuk. Dehainu ben shivim shanav, a 70-year-old. Afilu am aretz, even if he's ignorant, ubevachshel yerusha, as long as he's not evil, he's not wicked. Afilu zaken goy, and even a non-Jewish elder. Mehadin oseh b'dvarim, we show him respect with words. V'nesen liyad l'samchai, and we give him a hand to help him up, and we show him respect. So, basically, in this halacha, we have two concepts. We have the idea of respecting Torah, respecting the Talmid Chacham, even if he's young. And then we have the idea of respecting age, even if the person is not a Torah scholar, and even if the person is not even Jewish. Now, there are a number of interesting points over here. According to the Taz, the wife of a Talmid Chacham also has the status of a Talmid Chacham. There's a discussion in the Birkei Yosef about what will be after the husband passes away. So some say it's the same obligation, some say it's not the same obligation, but the point is that a wife of a Talmid Chacham has the concept of Ishta Kegufoi, that a wife has the same status as a husband, and she needs to be respected as well, and one is supposed to rise for her as well. Another interesting question is brought in the Sefer Halachas Ketanais, about what if a person sees a Torah scholar through a window. So they're not in the same room, but they see him through a window. So he is of the opinion that since it has to do with seeing, then one has to rise. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll find that really the obligation to rise fully is for someone who is a muflug, but either his own rabbi, his own teacher, or who's muflug batara, who's from the great Torah scholars of that generation. Now, today, most people, even if they're Torah scholars, have not reached the level, that level of learning. So if one's a person's own teacher, then he's supposed to rise for him. If he's respected Talmud Chacham, then the custom is to rise, but the full obligation to remain standing the entire time, even if the person's far away, that you don't have. It's only when the person comes closer, within your Dalet Amos perhaps, that's when the obligation would be. Kitzur continues in Siv Gimel. Shloisha Shoyim Halchem Baderech, through going in the road. So what's the respectful way of traveling? Harav Be'emtza, the Rebbe, the teacher's in the middle. Shnayim L'chayrav, and the other two behind him. V'chal Echad Metzadeh Atzmal Etzadim, and each one sort of goes to each side. Hagadol Li'imin, the more important one to the right. Hakatan L'smaylei, and the less important one to the left. Again, this is a way of showing respect that when the Rebbe, when the teacher travels, that the way they travel with him is in a respectful manner. Halacha Dalet. Avon Gadol Hu, it's a tremendous sin. Levazeh is Talmid Chachamim, to disgrace a Torah scholar, or lesnaisam, or to hate them. The Medrash tells us, Lechavar Yushalayim, that Yushalayim, Jerusalem wasn't destroyed during the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Atche Bizu Ba Talmid Chachamim, until they disgraced Torah scholars. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, so it's talking about the first bayis, the first temple, v'yu malivim b'malachei elokim, that they would show disgrace in angels of God, and they were talking, and it's really referring to Talmid Chacham, to great people, bayisim dvarav, and they would make fun and disgrace the words of the Torah, u'mitatim b'neviyov, and disgrace the prophets. Kalaimer explains the Kitzur. Boizim elam de tvarav, that they would show disrespect to those that taught the Torah. V'chein zeh shamar Torah, this is what the Torah says, v'im b'chukos haitim wasu, if one shows disgust to the Torah, elam de chukos haitim wasu, it's understood to mean that if you show disrespect to those that teach the Torah. V'chalam avazeh sachachamim, and anyone who shows disrespect to Talmid Chachamim, two great Torah scholars, Ein lo chelik l'olam haba, one does not have a portion of the world to come. Hu b'chlal kidvar Hashem baza, he's included in the category of people that profane and disgrace the word of Hashem. V'asul l'shamish b'mishu shen halachas, and because of this respect you need to show, so therefore one should not use as a servant one who knows halacha, even if he's not a great Talmid Chacham. But again, since it's sort of menial labor, it will be a sign of disrespect. Now, there's a few interesting points about this very strong concept that the Kitzur are saying about being careful about not disgracing Talmid Chachamim. First of all, there's a question as far as how do you define a Talmid Chacham? You know, what level of a Talmid Chacham are we talking about? And there's a very interesting piece from the Tumim, from Yannis and Ibershitz, that he writes that some say that in today's day and age, if one shows disrespectful Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to pay a certain penalty that they used to have to pay because they're not as great today. Says the Tumim, just the opposite. That today, because it's not as great as it used to be, so therefore people don't have the automatic respect, because they're not as impressive and as amazing as they used to be. So therefore, if we're not going to step up, if we're not going to be careful to show that respect, then the whole idea, the whole respect for Torah in general is going to become lower and lower, because there's not that natural respect. So therefore, just the opposite. We have to be more careful that people shouldn't show disrespect to Talmid Chacham. This is what the Tumim says. Now, there's a very important piece in Rabbeinu Yaina. He was an important Rishon in his work, Shari Tshuva, who speaks at length about this idea of Kidvar Hashem Baza, this idea that if one does certain things, that they have certain attitudes about Talmid Chacham, about Torah scholars, how it's a very serious thing, and they could lose their share in the world to come. And what he explains is a very important concept. And I think this is an important concept in general, we discuss in this whole siman about showing respect to a teacher, to a Talmud Chacham, to a Kayin, that the idea of showing respect is not necessarily that this person that we're showing respect to is the most perfect person. The idea is that the office, so to speak, or the position, or the status that that person holds represents the Torah. And therefore, the way Rabbeinu Yonah puts it is the following. He says that if we're going to show respect to great Talmid Chachamim, then we're going to create a feeling among children growing up, among people, that this is something to strive for. This is something that's great. This is something that we want to become. Whereas, if we're not going to show that respect, then it's not going to be respected, the whole idea of Torah. So the point over here is that when you show respect to a Talmud Chacham, even if he may not be so great, but the point is that because he represents Torah, then, and we understand the value of Torah, and even though this person may not represent everything that Torah is, he's not Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not the Vilna Gaon, but since we understand the value of Moshe Rabbeinu, we understand the value to our limited ability of someone like the Vilna Gaon, even though we don't have such people, but the people that we do have, we show them respect because we realize that that's what they represent, even though they may not be at that level. And that's an idea that could definitely be true with a Kayan as well, that a Kayan comes from the Zerah, from the lineage of Aaron HaKayan, and it's a very special thing that he comes from Aaron HaKayan, and the Torah gave him the mitzvah to do certain things. And does that mean that this Kayan is better than anybody else? Not necessarily. But he has something, he carries a certain lineage, and therefore we need to respect him out of respect of that lineage, because we understand what the Beis HaMikdash is, we understand what Kahuna is, we understand the importance of these concepts. So for the person that has that lineage, we show respect, not so much for what he is, but for what he represents. There's an interesting question that was asked to the Divrei Chaim, the famous Sanzarov, about a teacher that said about the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, the one who wrote the famous Pirush al Torah on the Chumash, Aruch Chaim. He was a great Kabbalist, and he said about him, and apparently if you look at the different swarm of that time, you see that there was obviously was going around some sort of attitude, sort of lessening the respect of the Aruch Chaim, and there's a truth from the Beis Shlaima also addressing such an issue. And this teacher said to the students that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh didn't have Ruach HaKadosh. Even though he was considered to be a great and holy man, he was sort of putting him down. And the question came to the Divrei Chaim, is it appropriate for this person to be a teacher? The Divrei Chaim says a very important thing. He says that the definition of Ruach HaKadosh is not necessarily that a person is a prophet or something like that. Ruach HaKadosh means that a person who learns Torah with sincerity and gives himself up to it and becomes a very great person, he's able to see things that the regular person can't see. He has a certain intuition, a certain understanding. And he says that is in every generation. It's not something that was lost, and therefore, even though in today's generation we don't have great Nevi'im and that sort of thing, but the idea that a great tzaddik in a generation will be able to understand things and see things that others can't see, he says that's what we call Ruach HaKadosh, and that we definitely could say about the Aruch Chaim. He was, in his generation, he was a very, very great person, and therefore that's not the right attitude and it's not an appropriate way for a rabbi to talk. Therefore, it's not really appropriate for such a person to be someone who influences children. This is what the Divrei Chaim writes over there in his tshuva. He happens to write that as far as any monetary commitments that they have to the Rebbe, they have to settle in Beis Din, but as far as the general approach, he said that that's inappropriate. Now, in a similar way, we have a discussion about different times when, say, a Rav made a mistake, whether it was in a halachic ruling or different things, people would get all upset, and they would start, you know, saying we should fire the Rav, he did it wrong. And there's a lot of discussion on Paiskim about how that sometimes they would make such a big deal about a halachic ruling that a Rav gave, and the whole thing was about an issue of a question of an Isser D'Rabban, or of something that could be possibly a rabbinic prohibition. So many Paiskim write that the prohibition of disgracing a Talmid Chacham, a person who holds the public office as a Rav, to disgrace them is definitely a deraisa, definitely a Torah prohibition. So therefore, they should not. They're doing the wrong thing by making a big deal about this ruling that the Rav gave, because it was an issue in a rabbinic ruling, and what they're doing by disgracing the Rav is far more serious. Sifei Talmid Chacham sheyesh lo schar limkar, Talmid Chacham who has merchandise to sell, that's how he made his livelihood. Emanichim l'shum adam limkar uma me'aisis chayra, we don't let anybody else sell from that type of merchandise. Achiyimkar hutchila shalai, we give him sort of the ability to sell first, that's why he can make his living and go back to his learning, and that's a sign of respect. The mezavne, that's only if there's not non-Jewish vendors, because the non-Jewish vendors are not going to wait. But if they're non-Jewish vendors, loy, we don't say that. The less lay rav chol talmid chachamim, because they're not going to get anything because they have competition. And that others should lose for no reason that we don't do. But the point that we can take out of this, even though it doesn't necessarily apply today, but the point is that there's an obligation on the community to see to it that, and to help out, that a talmid chacham should be able to have his livelihood in order that he could go back to his learning. And again, we're talking about specifically a person who, except for what he really needs to take care of, devotes his time and focus on learning Torah. Kitzur continues, Sivav Mishu Muchzuk L'Talmid Chacham B'Dairai, one who has a status, who is accepted as a Talmid Chacham in his generation, Tahainu Shiyudei Lisan V'Lisan B'Torah, that he knows how to deliberate in Torah learning, who may even be daita berev makemus shas paiskim, he has an understanding of shas and paiskim in most places, but the rosh himnasa, and he's completely devoted to this. Even if he does do some sort of business, but the purpose of the business is not to become rich, but simply to have a livelihood, as much as his family needs, and not to become rich. And any time that doesn't have to be busy with his dealings, he's learning Torah. As far as Allah is concerned, he's not obligated in paying certain types of taxes. And even if he's wealthy, even a tax that's put on each person by themselves, chayavim bnei ir l'shalom avurai, then the members of the city are obligated to pay for him. V'akal toli barayis eni tu ve'ir, and that's all has to do with what the elders of the city decide, seemingly depending on what the custom of the city is. There is a lot of discussion about this, especially in some of the paiskim from Eretz Yisrael, the Tzitzel Eliezer, and others, about today's day and age, how these things apply. Sif Zayin. Talmid Chacham, a mezalzel b'mitzvahs v'ein b'yir shemayim, a scholar, a Torah scholar that's not careful with his mitzvahs and does not have a fear of heaven, harukakal shabat sibor, he's like a simpleton of the community, meaning to say that the importance of being a Talmid Chacham, a Torah scholar, is only if you keep what you learn. But if one does not do so, then they don't have the status. So this is about the respect that one needs to give a Torah scholar. Now we're going to discuss about the concept of honoring a kohen. Siv Ches. Kohen v'Yisrael shehem shavim b'chachma. If you have a kohen and a regular Jew who is equal in the knowledge of Torah, mitzvah haseim in a Torah lahakdim as a kohen. It's a positive commandment to make him first. Shneamar, as it says, v'kidash, you should make him holy. V'darsh rabbeinu zichron levracha. That what does it mean to make him holy? It means for anything of holiness, you should make him first. Kolaymer b'chol davar shiragadol, b'chol davar shabekdusha. Anything of holiness, kolaymer b'chol davar shiragadol. Anything he should look great. Hu makudosh, he's special. Leis rishon lekriyas atayra, to get the first aliyah. As we know, we give the kohen the first aliyah. Leis rishon medabrim b'chol kibbutz am. If we have a gathering of people, he should be the first speaker. Ledabrim v'ledrish tchila. to speak first. V'chem b'yeshiva yidaber b'raish, also in the yeshiva when they're learning Torah, speak first. V'chem b'se'uda, who kaidem levar chamayitzi v'rech samazin, also at a meal, he should get first right, so to speak, to make the bracha before and the bracha after. V'litin le'mani yafa b'tchila chalam asubin, and to give him the first portion. Elim ken yesh yisrael gadol ben b'chachma. He says this is all if there isn't a regular Jew that's greater for him in chachma. Az yitnu la chacham hamana yafa tchila, then the chacham, the Yisrael who's more important, should get first. So that's why, if you have such a situation and you have an older Yisrael who's a Talmud Chacham, who's a distinguished person, and you had a young bar mitzvah boy who happens to be a kayin, so then the older person definitely gets first. Aval kishah kayin chaylek ezer shutvis im chaver Yisrael, but he says all this is talking when it's an issue of honoring, and it's not in business, it's more in Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha, it's more in things having to do with holiness, or having to do with just honoring in a communal event. But when you're talking about business, and maybe two people are making a deal, then what's fair is fair. Aval kishah kayin chaylek ezer shutvis im chaver Yisrael, if they're partners and they're dividing things up, and it's tzarech litan lechelek hayafa, then he obviously does not have to give him the better portion, but they are considered to be equals. It's not proper that he should take the nicer part. He gives a very interesting explanation why. He says because that at a time when both of them are dividing up something that belongs to both of them, so then if the kohen is going to want the more important part, then he's showing that he wants the better portion. And doing that itself takes away bracha, because one's supposed to accept what they get. So therefore, because it's not a siman bracha, it doesn't bring blessing, so therefore there's no idea of giving it to the kain first. The makam she'en kain, if there's no kain, tevel haktim a levi, liyisrael b'chol elu, then again, there is a mitzvah to let the levi go first, yimayim shavim b'chachma, if they're equal in chachma. Sif test. Also, l'shtamash b'kayin afil b'zman hazeh. One should not use a kayin to do something for them in a disrespectful way. Chamel b'hekdir shtami. It's as if one's getting benefit from holiness. Shenemar v'kidashtoi ki yaslachim alakechu makriv. You should make him holy, the kayin, because he brings the bread of Hashem, meaning he brings karbanas. So he has like sort of the status of a karban, that one should not use him in a disrespectful way. But for achshav she'en lanu karbanas, even though we don't have offerings to bring, because you shasi oimid, the kohen still has a certain holiness. Now the kohen does have a right to forgive his honor. Mutter, it's permitted. Kiyakahuna shalaihu, because it's his that he has the right to forgive his honor. V'yachalimchais bekvayda v'yitain rishus liyisrael ishtamashba, and he's allowed to let the Yisrael, so to speak, use him. He's allowed to do that. U'mekol shakein shayachal achal kavli Yisrael, and he definitely is allowed to give his show honor to other Yisraelim and say no, I don't want to go first. You should go first. He's definitely allowed to do that. Now the Mishnah Berurah does add that this is all talking about something that's not really demeaning. It's just a question of helping, but something that's demeaning, the Pesukim seems to say that one shouldn't do with a kohen. The truth is, perhaps one should not do it with any Jew, but specifically a kohen. It seems that it doesn't help that he could, as he can forgive his regular honor, but something that's really demeaning, he's not allowed to forgive. For example, perhaps tying someone's shoes, something like that, that he should not do, even if he's willing to do it.